There's a lot going on in the world of sports, and I want to check the score with you, Chris Sidorek. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Now, listeners, you might remember that Chris, several months ago, swore that he was going to turn me into a Bruins fan.
And
this
I've heard
season.
You kind of talking around the office. It's slowly creeping in there.
So let's check in on it.
Last night's game, I think, was a perfect example of why I think this team is going to bring you on the bandwagon. They're in Florida. They're taking on a Panthers team that's pretty desperate and hungry. They put up a great first period and then kind of fall behind in the second, 1-0. They rally back, tie it up, and then win in overtime, 2-1. And that is despite the fact that even head coach Bruce Cassidy admits they did not have their best effort last night.
I didn't think we had our best. I thought it was our B game for the most part. A good start, kept it clean in the first and didn't generate a lot, but usually on the road, you want to make sure that you're not loose. We weren't. But after that, I thought we weren't able to execute.
So there are a couple of terms in there I want to kind of draw attention to because I think they're kind of interesting. He said they kept it clean in the first. Now, we've talked about hockey as a game of motion, right? That you've got three guys up front, two guys in the back, but kind of depending on how things move around, you're going to fill in and make sure that you're covering each other's backs. So he said, we made sure we weren't loose. That means you're nice and tight with your motions around the ice. Kept it clean. They didn't make any turnovers, bad passes, kind of give the puck away in the wrong zone. And they didn't generate a lot. He means they didn't generate a ton of scoring chances after that first period, but they were able to make it count when they did. What are you laughing about?
You are totally cracking me up. So here you're trying to prove to me that I'm going to love the Bruins. And one, you give me a completely unintelligible set of comments from the coach where you have to literally then explain to me what he said, except the parts that I did understand were not our A game. We weren't able to execute. So how is this supposed to convince me?
Well, I think it speaks to the character of this team because it's easy to win when everybody has their best night, right? There's 82 games in the regular season for a hockey season. Mm-hmm. We're all human. You can't possibly have your best night 82 times over the course of a season. So there are going to be nights.
Or 82 shows, as I showed just before
that's
the break.
Right. That's right. But you still have to win even when you're having one of those off days. And so I think the fact that they're playing a desperate opponent, even knowing they're not having their best night, they lose one of their top defenders. But Torrey Krug is able to come in and score the game winner in overtime. And he admitted afterwards that they had to really kind of battle through to get it done.
We're trying to every night obviously bring our A game. If you don't have it, you gotta live with your B game and live with the results, and obviously if we can win with that game, then it's a sign of a really good team. So we got the win and we'll move on and look forward to Tampa on Saturday.
We call that winning ugly in sports.
All right.
Even when it's not pretty, you get the win done. Big game against Tampa on Saturday. Tampa's coming to town. It's kind of their top competition in their division. The Bruins beat Tampa in Tampa 2-1 on Tuesday. And this is likely a potential playoff matchup. So big game coming up on Saturday.
All right. So why is a team that can win ugly the thing that's going to capture my heart?
Well, I think it speaks to the character that you're not willing to quit. It's easy once you realize you're not having a great night, the other team takes a lead. It's easy to give up at that point. You could just kind of mail it in, kind of coast through the rest of the game and go home. They have a comfortable lead right now. They have the best record in the NHL, most wins in the NHL. So they could have just taken that night off, said it's not our night, we'll come back the next one. And they didn't. They battled through. They were aggressive early. They outshot Florida 12-4 in that first period. And as I said, they lost Brandon Carlo during that game to a elbow to the face. That we'll have to keep watching. We're not sure if he has a concussion or not. That could be a big loss. He's a big contributor. But just look at that overtime period, because you've got 5 minutes of 3-on-3 hockey, which means there's so much more room to operate. Guys are flying around the ice.
So you mean literally, or only three players from each team on the ice?
Not counting the goalie, yes.
Okay.
And so they do that to basically create more space, which creates more exciting scoring chances and basically gets the game over sooner once you get to overtime. You want to make it a little easier to score. And you kind of saw that in the overtime last night. It was back and forth and back and forth. At one point, with 3 minutes to go, Torrey Krug shoots on goal. Bobrovsky makes a huge save, and all of a sudden, the puck starts heading the other way. It's Alexander Barkov, one of the league's better scorers. This is what that sounded like.
Krug drives a save, and here comes Barkov with the game on his stick. A save by Halak! Jaroslav Halak with the save of the night!
See, you're smiling. I'm bringing you in little by little.
Well, if nothing else, I love the idea that somebody can have the entire game on their stick.
Well, and that's what it's like. He's got a wide open lane to the net, and generally that's kind of advantage scorer at that point because he can make a ton of moves. I thought it was really interesting. So Jaro Halak is the backup goalie. Tuukka Rask is the starting goalie. So Halak's in net last night, and he told reporters after the game that he knew exactly who it was charging down the ice at him.
I knew who it was, so he's one of the best in the league on breakaways. I just tried to stay with him, not to make the first move. And I don't know who was backchecking on that one, but did a good job trying to get him and didn't give him time to make any moves.
So a couple of things I love there. I love that he sees Barkov coming. He says, "Oh, this is Barkov. I got to really be on my game here because this guy can score." But I also love this idea of not making the first move. And that's really what it's all about as a goalie in hockey. If you commit to one side or the other, all of a sudden you leave a ton of open space for him to shoot. And so it's just kind of riding out, watching him come further and further, closer and closer. It's hard not to bite. And he mentioned back-checking. I'm going to give you a little hockey 101 here. So that's the Bruins player who is chasing Barkov down the ice, just making sure he can't have free range and kind of do whatever he wants, spin moves, dekes, whatever.
All right, so here's my question for you. So you say that we've got this team that is getting it done right now. Everywhere I turn in Boston right now, the Boston Bruins are not what we're talking about. I'm hearing about the Red Sox, and I'm hearing about Mookie, and I'm hearing about Chris Sale, and I'm hearing about the Pats and Tom Brady. Why are they not getting the love they deserve as the Bruins, do you think?
It's a phenomenal question.
Thank
I think
you.
Partially we like to complain here in Boston, right? We've had it so well over the last 20 years in terms of sports. We like to complain. So Brady's probably going to leave at this point. The Sox look like they're a dumpster fire. So those are kind of more interesting. I have found it interesting. None of the sports stations in towns are talking about the Bruins, and this team has the best record in the NHL. They went to Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals last year, and they look like they're poised to make another deep run. So I think that's really interesting. They're also kind of counterintuitive. When you go that deep in the playoffs, generally speaking, the next year is a down year because you played all these extra games. Playoff hockey is super intense, so it takes a huge toll on the body. And you just kind of expect these guys to not quite have the fire or the hunger that they usually do. It's the same roster as last year, and that wasn't quite enough to get it done. So I think a lot of people thought, well, they're not really going to be serious title contenders this year. It's getting pretty hard to deny that this team could make a real run at the Cup again.
All right, you are starting to sell me. We do have about a minute left, and I do feel like we do have to talk about some of the other Boston sports teams. There is other stuff going on.
There is, and this would be the moment you want me to talk about Brady or Red Sox, but I'm not going to do it because there's another Boston team poised to make a playoff run, and that's the Celtics. And I think it's so exciting to see Jason Tatum, who had his 22nd birthday a day ago.
That is so young.
Yeah, put up team-high 32 points against the Cavs on Wednesday. He has become a true superstar. And I'd say one of the 10 or 15 best players in the league, which in the NBA, it's such an individual sport. You need that talent to really be a true title contender. Jason Tatum, if he can play like this consistently, looks to be one of those guys that you can truly build a franchise around.
All right. Radio Boston's Chris Sidorek, thank you for checking the score.
Thanks for making time for me. I had to twist your arm a little bit. We got it done.
You're going to keep me in the game.
That's right.